Movie.
Is it a movie?
Great movie.
Fascinating.
Is it a movie?
Love that movie.
Haven't heard of that.
Is it a movie?
My favorite movie.
I'm a bit of a cinephile.
Hey, MFers. I'm sorry, I got a lot of energy. I'm very excited to talk about this movie that we're going to be discussing today. You're listening to Movie. Film.
It's a podcast where we pick a flick and decide if it's a movie or a film.
That is a very true fact.
I'm Nate, and sun is for everyone, beach for a few.
Ooh, and I'm Terrell, and Toto, I don't think we're in Kansas anymore.
Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, very
That's
obvious.
Like number one on the list of classic movie quotes.
When you type in movie quotes in Google, that's like the first one.
That's all you did this week, huh?
That's it. Yeah. I also felt like it fit. Felt very Wonderland and psychedelic and all that.
Yeah, there's that moment where it's like, oh, we're not in Kansas anymore.
Yeah, we're not. Yeah, it's a different place.
Gotta tell you, we were never in Kansas.
No. We're off road somewhere.
Do you know mine?
No. Sun for everyone, beach for some.
Beach for a few,
no.
The hint is that's not how it's spoken in the film. It's in Portuguese, but I translated it. And it's the only other Brazilian film I've seen.
I know very few Brazilian films, so I'm going to say City of God.
Yeah, it's City of God.
Okay.
ding, ding, ding. I guess Black Orpheus is the only other one, but that was like directed by a French dude. So
Yeah.
City of God, though, because today we're doing Bacurau.
Yeah, Bacurau.
It was on our top 10 list, both of ours, for 2019.
Mm-hmm. Amazing spectacle.
Yeah.
2-hour extravaganza.
Yeah, let's just get into it with the trailer.
Yeah.
For Bacurau.
Vamos olhar aqui, ó. Nós temos que procurar Bacurau no mapa, né? Ué, era pra estar aqui.
Cadê Bacurau?
Boa tarde, amigos de Bacurau.
Cada um pode vir aqui pegar o mantimento que precisar, tá? Vamos usar a consciência, tá bom?
So this is Bacurau.
Quem nasce em Bacurau é o quê?
É a gente.
Cara, é atirar em mim, velho.
Aqui nessa terra não pode acontecer dessa forma, não, viu?
A gente tá sendo atacado.
Oh, yeah.
Por que vocês estão fazendo isso?
There's so much you can do with a knife.
This world is upside down.
Só bebe água da colônia, mas não volte à minha casa, lá vem cheirando a caixa.
Bacurau, Portuguese for Nightjar, is a 2019 weird Western. Is that a genre? Oh my goodness.
Ooh, interesting.
Learning something from the Wikipedia description. Weird West is a term for the hybrid genres of fantasy Western, horror Western, and sci-fi Western. Term originated with DC's Weird Western Tales in 72. But yeah, Western B movies.
Okay.
Anyway, Bacurau was one of those, written and directed by Kleber Mendoca Filho and Juliano Dornelis. Needless to say, this is an all-new crew, so the crew love section is non-applicable.
True. But maybe in the future.
Maybe in the future. And in terms of the cast, Udo Kier is the only recognizable face, and he was in Rob Zombie's Halloween. So there's that connection.
Udo Kier, horror movie classic actor. Yeah. You know those eyes.
Should we just get right into it?
Yeah, let's get right into it. So Baccarat is just like this village that is like off road, as I said. Like very, not many people are going there.
No.
We start with like this aerial view from like all the way from space.
Yeah, nice little throwback to opening credit sequence. Just take your time. Look at those names. Look at the stars. And then you see planet Earth.
Yeah.
Kind of bump into a satellite on the way.
And
we move into Brazil.
Yeah. This movie, it starts off not pretty violent, but, you know, we see a dead body. Like,
oh, right within, away.
Right away.
And coffins, plenty.
There was an accident with a truck carrying coffin, and there's a dead body on the road, and we meet our... I don't want to say she's our main character, but she's kind of just like our vessel into Baccarat.
Yeah, you think she's going to be, and we'll get into that, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But she's, we start with Teresa.
Mm-hmm.
It all starts with Teresa, who's coming home with some medical supplies, and she's riding in the passenger seat of a water tanker. And they see that sign, and it's very ominous, the body. And then they see the sign that says, Baccarat, if you go, go in peace.
Yeah.
A little bit of exposition. I guess there's like a TV in the truck. They see like a wanted video for some guy named Lunga. And Teresa and the truck driver discuss him. And he's from the village. And apparently if she ever sees him, she's not going to turn him in.
No. No, they don't turn in their own.
Mm-hmm.
We also learned that their water supply is being blocked.
Yeah.
We don't know why yet and why nobody is doing anything about it, but that's why they're carrying water into the village.
Yeah, at, when that sequence, they stop and look at the dam, like beautiful view, and then also I just love this wipe transition that they do. It's very old school. This is 2019, but it has a lot of those like 80s, 70s, 80s feel to it.
Yeah.
How it moves along. It's a throwback. So at first, Baccarat was kind of like a ghost town. You just see the buildings, but not any people. No real signs of life.
The first person we see is Damiano, which is one of my favorite characters in here. There's quite a few like... pretty just like standouts, Damiano being one of them. And I don't remember exactly what they talk about, but I knew like right off the bat.
Dominguez.
Dominguez?
Yeah.
Do we meet Dominguez first?
Wait, who's Damiano?
Damiano is the old guy. The old guy with the gun. Yeah.
No, first we see Dominguez.
Dominguez. And she just closes the window.
Yeah. She says hi to Mr. Dominguez as she peeks out her window, and Mr. Dominguez just takes a sip and then closes the shutter. Then we meet Damiano.
He places a plant in her mouth or something.
Yeah.
He just says, open up. And she takes
that's
it.
That's the welcome.
Yeah, that's the welcome into Baccarat. And so there's a big gathering. We see a lot of faces. You get a sense of community right away.
Absolutely.
Just by the act of her passing the suitcase and then the way it's passed into the house by everybody. Yeah. Like everybody hands touches it. Yeah, they're sharing this thing. So they open it up and we see that there are meds and that there is a dead woman on the bed.
Yeah, Teresa came right as the wake was in progress for
her grandmother
who was the matriarch of the community,
Carmelita,
and Miss Dominguez, who we meet earlier. She stands in a chair outside the house and just starts heckling the wake, and at one point calls Carmelita a low life, see you next Tuesday.
Calls her a whore, just calling her out of her name, really. But I guess this is just what her grief looks like. she's angry that her longtime friend has passed away and has left her alone.
Yeah, and then we meet Plinio, or we met Plinio briefly before, who kind of takes over and makes a really impassioned speech all about Carmelita's place in the community of Baccarat.
Baccarat song. It's like a funeral song led by the old man on the guitar. I never caught his name.
Yeah, I don't know.
One of my favorites as well.
We can just call him the guitarist because I've got some more to say about him for sure.
Yeah.
Also, do we have a name for the like the MC?
No.
Because I love him also.
Yeah.
Just so it's like this pickup truck that has this massive LED screen and just speakers. And this guy is just like the radio host MC. I don't know.
Makes morning announcements.
He's the announcer for the community. And right now he's kind of giving a eulogy over the microphone.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're just following the guitarist in a procession.
Mm-hmm.
Until they get the coffin in the ground. And we got our first, like, kind of weird thing happening.
Yeah, when she's looking at...
a little hallucination.
She's looking at the coffin.
Yeah, and it appears like water is pouring out of the coffin.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
We get to see a little bit of the village life. We see Dominguez. Telling someone that someone is in her office like, I'm dying, and she's like, it's just a hangover, sweetie. Yeah. Like, go home, get some sleep, vomit.
Drink water. Yeah.
We also get to see just like the sex workers. The sex workers are a big part of this community.
Yeah.
They are at the front, so they are like the warning.
Yeah. If anyone's coming into town, you're going to hear about it through the sex workers.
Yeah.
They've got this school bus that's just filled with plants.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. Because they don't need a school bus because the schoolhouse is just in the small village.
Yeah.
And the children are just taught throughout the village. We see Plinio teaching lessons at one point.
Mm-hmm.
Also, we get that scene... just of the shower house, the outdoor communal showers.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just naked people showering.
Yeah.
It's just bodies cleaning themselves, having a good time.
Mm-hmm. I like when the sex workers, like after they're done showering, they're walking in their robe and they pass someone and they just all flash the person they're walking by. We meet Pakulti.
Yeah.
Who is trouble but hot.
Yeah, he's a family friend who's there to pay his respects, and he is a hitman also. We learned from Teresa's sister that
he has a greatest hit.
She's seen his greatest hits on like YouTube or something.
Literally greatest hits.
Number six wasn't him. And then we get the little insert shot of this guy in a motorcycle helmet killing someone.
Yeah, shooting.
Yep. Our MC is doing morning announcements.
Mm-hmm.
We learn the road's blocked off. There's only motorcycle access.
Mm-hmm.
It's too hard to get your goat to the neighboring village, so their festival is canceled.
Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of seclusion going on.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of build up for that. To add to that, the father, what's his name again?
Plinio.
Plinio is like showing the kids where Baccarat is on the map, and he pulls it up on Google Maps, but it's not there all of a sudden. He can't find it.
Yeah, it disappeared.
Mm-hmm. So he has to go to the old school map, pulls it down, shows them we're right here.
Hmm. And then, I mean, we hear from the sex workers that Tony Jr. is coming.
Tony Jr., what another character.
I love that shot. It's that split diopter shot where the foreground and the background are both in focus of the sex worker radioing. Tony Jr. is on his way. And then you also see just like the truck coming in.
Mm-hmm. Blaring his loud music about, you know, how he's coming up for re-election and he wants your vote and all that stuff.
Yeah, if you thought the MC's truck with the LED screen was like a big deal, wait till you see Tony Jr.'s truck with multiple LED screens and even bigger speakers.
Yeah. So I love that everyone like clears.
Mm-hmm.
He comes into town and he's like got his blowhorn ready to like talk to the people, to address the people, and no one is there to greet him. no one wants to see him.
Yeah, when he gets out of the truck, it's this like really big crane shot that just completely like goes high up in the sky, and you just see there's no one around him in town at all. He's just all alone in this village. And this dude, oh, they did this character so well. He's got this tucked in pink striped polo shirt, this like dorky comb over, these sunglasses, and this belt buckle, and he's just like the shitty politician.
He's just the shitty politician.
The incumbent mayor trying to get their vote for re-election.
Yeah.
Giving empty promises about the water problem that he'll fix. It's no big deal, but he'll fix.
Giving them like shitty excuses and shitty gifts. Just like a truckload of books that he just dumps.
Oh, just a dump truck. Just load. A dump like, truck. Literal, he just dumps them.
Yeah. Like, here, take this. You should be grateful.
Yeah. I'll work on the water, but here, just take this.
Mm-hmm. They all start yelling "fuck you," which is great.
Yeah, just from inside their houses, just heckling him. I love that the character's name is Tony Jr., suggesting that there was a Tony Sr. that was probably also the shithead mayor before him.
Right, and now his kid is in office, and he's even worse.
Yeah. So yeah, he doesn't really make any headway with the people of Bacurau.
Nope.
And then he takes one of the sex workers without paying up front, which is how it normally works.
I loved Dominguez throughout this because she's just so protective, and this is the first instance of her coming straight to Tony Jr.'s face and being like, hey, if you hurt her, I'm gonna hurt you.
I'm gonna feed your cock to the hens.
Yes.
Yeah, so that's Tony Jr. for you.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's nighttime, and we get to see how the nights go in Bacurau. They're giving away the goods to the town people.
Wait.
What did I miss?
Damiano on his way home.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So this part tripped me up when I first saw it. Anybody else that's seen it knows what I'm talking about. When Damiano is on his way home, he sees an aircraft, like a UFO.
A flying saucer.
A flying saucer. And it tripped me out because I was just like, oh, wow, what? I had no idea what this was going to be when you first put it on. And I was just like, oh, this is getting weird. This is getting interesting.
Yeah, that's where the weird part of the weird Western comes in, I guess.
Yeah. And it just, he sees it and it's hovering and then it just goes away.
Yeah.
And that's the last we see of it for a little while.
A little tease.
Yeah.
And it's got like some alien sounds.
Yeah.
Some bleeps and bloops.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's nighttime
and
Plinio's got the mic and he's saying this food's almost expired, but anything you need, take it. And now Dominguez is gonna tell you about these meds. And then she brings out the meds that Teresa brought in and said Teresa was able to give us vaccines for polio and other things.
Snake bite,
anti-venom stuff. But also Tony Jr. came with these suppositories that are supposedly painkillers, but they're really mood destabilizers that for some reason people take all over Brazil. And then she throws them in the trash and says, and if you want them, you can come get them. And then she throws them in the garbage. Yeah.
Because she says they make you dim. And that's exactly how Tony wants them.
Yeah.
Sandra comes back. Sandra was the sex worker that was taken earlier.
Oh, yeah, and she just wants to go to bed.
She just wants to go to bed. She looks tired.
Yeah. But her friend checks on her,
which
is nice.
Same night, a bunch of wild horses come running into town.
Yeah. A stampede.
A stampede of horses. They come from a farm not too far out of town. So in the morning, they go to take them back.
They send two men to take them back to the farm nearby. And when they go out, they see these two motorists. They pass them. They're in like very flashy, like
bright
motocross gear.
And yeah, they just pass by him. They don't wave or anything. They're
really
just
out of place.
Really out of place. And Pacolti tells him to come back. He says something feels weird. Come back. And they said, no, we'll just go. We'll go. So they go, and the motorcyclists, they ride through town. straight to town.
Well, by the way, him, Pacody telling them to come back is through this like WhatsApp group text that I guess the whole village has together.
Yeah.
They're all connected. They all.
It's all community.
like makes you think, what if everyone in Philly just was all on a text chain together?
Right. It'd be crazy.
I don't think we would be able to handle that.
No. The driver from earlier who is bringing in water brings in more water, but this time he notices that there are bullet holes.
Yeah, water's pouring out of that tank.
Yeah, so by any means necessary, they are going to, you know, keep this town from surviving, from thriving, from, you know, drinking water, from eating food, like all that.
The motorists stop by town.
Mm-hmm. They go to the town bar.
Yeah. Then they have some questions. I love this moment. They ask, what are the residents of Baccarat called? And this little kid in the corner just shouts, people.
It's obvious.
Yeah. And then we get the shot of the female motorcyclist placing like a computer chip thing underneath the table, slyly.
They don't stay for long.
They also ask what Baccarat means, which is a bird.
A very large bird.
Yeah, it's apparently a white-winged nightjar. I looked it up. They assume it's a small bird, and the bartender says, no, it's a big bird. And they say, extinct, I guess? And she says, nope, not here. They're a hunter that only comes out at night.
So as they're leaving,
our friend,
the guitarist, is following them, playing guitar music, being very like, what is the term of the, I guess just like someone like a, like, I don't know, someone that's like following you, playing music, but like telling your story, or
is there
like,
a term for that?
Is there a term for that? I feel like there should be a term for that.
Yeah.
It's very like...
They're just doing improv songs about the people passing him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they try paying him off, and he's like, nah, you can keep your money. I'm just messing with you.
Yeah, he laughs in their face.
Yeah. making them feel very uncomfortable, and they should feel uncomfortable.
Yeah. Pacody and Teresa talk to them for a little bit. They ask, are you going to visit the Museum of Baccarat? We see the outside of the building, and they say, no.
Should have visited that museum.
Then we check back in with the men investigating the farm where the horses escaped, and it's a murder scene.
It's bloody. It's messy. There's bodies everywhere, and they can't make contact with Baccarat anymore because the signal's down.
That might be something to do with that little doohickey. We're gonna find out for real if these cyclists can be trusted, because then they have a run-in with the two men that went to the farm.
Yeah.
And there's this ominous point where the one guy on the bike who peeked inside the house and the farm and saw even more of the bloodshed just says to the other, we're going to die.
Yeah.
You didn't see what I saw.
And the two bikers do kill them.
Yeah, the shot we see of that is from the flying saucer.
Which is
a drone.
A drone, yeah.
That's the view of the execution. It's just overhead through the drone with commentary from an English voice. Yeah.
After they kill the two people from Baccarat, they say, we messed up.
Yeah.
And so we meet the others.
Yeah, we follow back with the motorcyclist to this... Little house.
Yeah.
It's mostly American foreigners, led by Udo Kier's character, Michael. Little strange house.
Almost like an Airbnb or just like a bed and breakfast kind of thing, where the people that live in that place are still there, you know, treating them as guests.
Yeah.
But yeah, they call a meeting. And we discover that everything that's happening is being planned. The water supply, the blockage, the signal, everything.
Yeah, it's kind of like a game. They're playing for points on kills.
Yeah. And so they have an issue with the two motorcyclists who are Brazilian themselves.
Yeah, they're from Sao Paulo.
Mm-hmm. And are helping these, I'm just calling them the whites.
Oh,
because
on Wikipedia, it just calls them the foreigners.
The foreigners.
I really fuck with that.
Okay. The foreigners are...
But yeah, they're all fucking white.
They're white. They make it clear that they're white, that because there's that line of him being like, I'm just like you. And he's like, are you like us? Right. Are you white? I mean, right. You kind of look white, but you're not. You're not like us. So they just make it a point to be like...
They said, you killed your own people.
Yeah, you killed your own people.
This is different. We're getting points. We're different. We're Americans. Mm-hmm. We're not here.
Yes.
And they say, what do you mean? You're here. I'm here. And Michael says, no, I have documents that prove that I'm not here.
Yeah. I feel like they're not getting the gravity of the situation that they are in. And also, why would you help foreigners kill your own people? Like, why?
Money. Dinero.
Yeah.
I just like the line, like we're not here. I have documents to prove it. Mm-hmm. Like, they're kind of just...
Like, as much as, like...
this is Americans.
This is about community. There are always people that are like that. That, like... Hmm. Like, they're not a part of that community, but they are part of... They're from that place, but, like, they will, like, still, like...
Sell them out.
Hmm. And, like, they're no different. Like, they would come to your village and do the same thing, or your town or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, that's because they ask him, like, where are you from? And they say, we're just from, South Brazil.
Yeah.
You know, they were being very vague. Like, they don't bring that shit over here.
Another difference is the Brazilians were using just contemporary guns, whereas the foreigners all have these vintage firearms.
Yeah.
And we saw earlier when they first enter the house, this one woman kind of monologuing about how she fell in love with her gun, which is like this Tommy gun.
Yeah.
There's a story about how she was babysitting in New York and the dad had it behind a glass thing. And
yeah.
Ugh. Yeah, just like, just ugh. Fetishizing the weaponry of old. Mm-hmm.
And
no, so they've all got earpieces.
Right. And there's this moment where it's almost like a standoff, but the two don't know that. And then they all just get up and shoot them.
Yeah, everyone except for the Brazilians hear something in their ears that I guess said, it's time to kill these people.
Yeah.
So they gun them down and immediately just start arguing over who gets the points.
Yeah. They also kill the people that were hosting them in the house. We get like little flashes of like each dead body.
Hmm.
And then those flashes lead back to the farm. And we see those dead bodies as well.
Yeah, just bodies. So yeah, the film, that's what I'm calling it.
Okay.
Takes a turn.
Picote and Damiano are on the scene. Damiano tells him about the drone, and Picote is like, okay, so I'm gonna go get Lunga.
Mm-hmm.
It's time to bring out the big guns. And so he drives to Lunga with the dead bodies. And we meet Lunga. I like the first shot of Lunga, which is just like half his face.
Yeah.
And we see that he has black nail polish on his fingers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He's hiding out in this compound.
Yeah, this little
fortress.
Tower by the dam.
Yeah, through like a little tunnel.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the first things he says is like, I'm stuck. I don't want to be stuck here like that fag Che Guevara.
Yeah.
Picote convinces Lunga to come on, come help us.
Mm-hmm.
And he does. Meanwhile, we get more inserts of Picote's top 10 kills.
Yeah, just showing it to everyone in town.
Yeah, one of them has the Wilhelm scream in it. I noticed.
I didn't notice.
Yeah.
He comes to town, he cuts it off, and then Lunga comes in all decked out.
Oh yeah, war paint
clothes, makeup. He has extensions. His hair is longer. I'm just like, oh, he put on his best drag for this. Yeah. And then the comment of the old lady being like, that's some outfit, kid. But then that's cut short because the woman from the store, from the shop from earlier, notices that her... He said, does my auntie know? So I guess her son. I guess it's her son. Is dead. And that's when everybody sees the dead bodies. Yeah. And finds out what's going on.
Yeah. Now it's nighttime.
Mm-hmm.
We got like a drum circle and some like capoeira happening.
Mm-hmm. Lunga is digging a hole.
Yeah, I love this scene of them dancing with the drum circle and the dance fighting, and they're like singing like one of their traditional songs, and it's like this very rhythmic, almost chant, and then their audio drowns, like fades out, and we just hear like the synth score kick in with the same rhythm, and it's like this very John Carpenter-y like pounding synth. It's just like that part of the movie where like, oh, it's getting there.
It's getting there.
It's gearing up for something. Mm-hmm. You don't know what, but it's something.
Oh, and you feel it because I remember the first time I was watching this, it goes to the kids playing at night. And I'm just like, no, like, someone grab the kids. Like, they're a dead body. They're dead people. Like, come on, kids in the house. But the kids are playing out in the field and they're playing this game of like chicken bravery.
Who can go furthest in the dark?
Yeah, very simple. And they have this flashlight that blinks, and it's just adding to, like, you know, the ominous feeling of it. And a kid drops it, and then another kid has to go get the flashlight. Mm. And when he gets it and he picks it up, out pops one of the foreigners.
Yeah, it's like this strobing flashlight, so you just see the killer's face. First, you see his boots, because you're from the child's perspective, because, of course, that's the scariest way to show us what's about to happen.
Yeah.
And then you see his face blinking and blinking. Fortunately, you don't see the child's face again.
No.
You
just hear a pop, and then the kids yelling.
Yep. Kids, if you're listening to this podcast, first of all, why?
Why?
Second of all, thanks. Please rate and review and subscribe. Mm-hmm. Third of all, don't play this game, who can go furthest in the dark. It didn't work for this kid. It didn't work for Nemo.
It didn't. It doesn't work.
Yeah, don't try to touch the butt.
No. Stay in the house, kids.
Yeah, stay inside.
2022. Stay in the house.
Especially when there's dead bodies.
Mm-hmm.
Not to victim blame.
But
I mean, fuck the white people coming in and doing this fucked up shit.
Yeah.
They aren't even there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this character named Claudio takes himself and his wife into a car, and they leave. They're just like, we're over this shit. It is getting crazy.
Oh, mistake.
But it was a bad move.
We see the drone immediately, like from the drone shot of just the car. Mm. Okay, it's two people leaving in a mid-sized vehicle.
Yeah. And then we see two foreigners, a man and a woman. Yeah, they're out in the field.
Okay, you go after them.
And they're going to intercept. And they do.
Just with no tack, just completely unloading on the car.
Yeah, you can. I think that's one of my favorite things about just the design of the foreigners. It's just like they're like complete lack of, like, these are not experts at all.
No,
they're just very just dumb and bad, and they just think that they're the best, but they have no skill set.
Right. Just like some power because their morals are so low.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it. So they gun down this car, and the man and the woman get so freaking excited that they just start fucking right there.
And right then and there in the field.
With the drone watching them. She's just riding him and flipping off the drone.
Yeah. The next thing I have is back at camp, one of them. His name is Terry. I think Terry is like, along with Michael, is like the only other name I remember of the foreigners. And he has a conscience, and he's upset at the other one that killed the kid.
Yeah, because he was a kid. This one's got a line, and that's not killing kids.
Yeah.
We learn from Michael, who's like steps into the situation to like be like, guys.
Mm-hmm.
We learn from him that the guy who killed the kid is a supermarket HR guy. and Terry is a correctional officer. He's like, the whole world is upside down.
Yeah.
But Michael says the kid killer, that's the name I gave him, kid killer.
Mm-hmm.
He says kid killer gets those points.
Mm-hmm.
And Terry's furious about this, and he calls Michael a Nazi. Udo Kier, a German actor with a German accent, he's not hiding.
Mm-hmm.
Gets called a Nazi, and that's where Michael's line is, I guess.
Yeah.
Michael's okay with awarding points to someone murdering a child,
but do not call him a Nazi.
Don't call him a Nazi. He says, I'm how old are you? 35. I've been American for over 40 years. I'm more American than you are.
Yeah. And then shoots him in his vest.
I feel like that kind of speaks to, like, not to get like tinfoil hatty, but like, we did shelter a lot of Nazi war criminals, mm-hmm. after World War II.
Mm-hmm.
We, as Americans.
As Americans.
I feel like it kind of speaks to that. And then say earlier, his line about, I feel like there's a lot in the Michael character that reveals the, like, the more, like, socio-political commentary.
Mm-hmm.
With, like, we have documents that prove that we're not here. It's just about, like, you know, the CIA doesn't meddle in South American,
mm-hmm.
politics. We don't bring down dictators or...
Yeah.
Yeah, we do. We're awful. Just the worst. And we're Nazis.
Mm-hmm.
But don't call us Nazis, or else we'll shoot you point blank in the bulletproof vest and say, next time you want to piss someone off, don't use those cliches.
Yeah. This is another example of just like the foreigners being like not equipped, not about this life, is just his reaction to being shot in the vest. It's like he's never been shot before.
Yeah.
He's like having like the like most like manic experience of his life in this moment. Now onto maybe one of my favorite parts of the movie.
Yeah.
One of my favorite parts.
Yeah.
It's like,
I mean, this is the other turn.
This is the other shoe dropping. This is mm-hmm. very Tarantino to me. So Damiano is nude. Love it. Watering his plants, full bush, by the way. Just like, I just love.
And you're not talking about the plants.
No, they just like show bodies in this, and just like a very just like
it's their natural.
Bodies. Yeah, it's natural. And these people are just living their lives out here. So yeah, Damiano's watering his plants, and he must have noticed something because there's an expression on his face. And then he leaves his greenhouse. He goes back to the house, and then we see two foreigners coming to kill him, a man and a woman.
The man has a cigarette. He like is insisting on looking like a badass.
Yeah.
So he lights the cigarette and then tries lighting the hut like with the lighter, and then the woman like throws a cigarette out of his face to be like, focus on what we're doing, dumbass.
Right. And he turns the corner and
I think he's about to get Damiano with that gun, but
Damiano has his own vintage weapon and completely obliterates his head.
Yeah.
Head gone.
And this time we get to see the kill.
Yeah.
Beautiful blood, if you're into that stuff.
I also like the way Damiano is holding the gun. He's holding it like down by his pelvis and to the side. Yeah, very, very interesting.
And it's funny you said that. It's like Tarantino, because we then, well, actually, first we get the next kill, or the next shot, rather.
The next shot.
Because I don't know her name, but Damiano's wife, presumably.
Yeah, also has a gun.
Also has a gun, and then gets the woman.
Yeah.
And then it's funny you said it's like Tarantino, because you get the Tarantino shot of two people looking down.
Mm-hmm.
It's like they're saying, yeah, we know this is this is that part.
Mm-hmm.
Enjoy. And we do. We love it. It's the shot, but it's them looking down at this woman who's shot and dying. Very she says, help me.
Very pathetic. You came says, to kill me. These people. And I'm like, help me. I help. Don't want to die. Please. This hurts.
And she's using this translation app.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, now it's time to settle our differences and see, you know, we have the technology to actually talk to people.
Oh, now you do.
Be together. And
now you want to talk.
Help me.
And
now that you lost your position of power, you're just...
Mm-hmm.
Expecting yeah. the world from anyone else.
Mm-hmm. They give her a psychedelic, is mm-hmm. what we learn it is. And they bring her into town.
Yeah. We meet back up with the rest of the foreigners. And we get one of them telling his story about his wife left him.
Mm-hmm.
And he drove to the mall like 3 times with his Glock.
Yeah.
And... something stopped him, and it was God. And he thinks this is the way that he was sent to deal with that anger.
Yeah. There was something about this monologue that felt like very on the pulse of like the like not I'm not saying like all, but just like white American men.
Mm-hmm.
And just
say white American masculinity.
Yeah, white American masculinity, and where the way that he was going about getting out his rage was to like kill other people with a gun.
Men, you know what I mean? Yeah, men will literally gun down people of color to avoid going to therapy.
Yeah. And so yeah, that's his monologue, and it pretty much explains all of them being like, oh, we couldn't do this back home, but we feel free enough to do that here in a place where nobody really knows about or cares about.
Now we can get wiped off the map.
Yeah.
And we don't care about their history museum. And then they're passing this old cop car and they see bullet holes in it, but they all ignore it.
Yeah. And that's a mistake. It's a big warning sign to be like, yo, even the cops don't fuck with this area.
Yeah.
Like the cops stay away from these people. Mm. Maybe you should too.
And Michael decides to go out on his own.
Mm-hmm. We get these really cool shots, really close-up shots of everyone in the village. Well, yeah. All the adults in the village taking the psychedelic.
Yeah, just the pills going in the tongues.
Mm-hmm. Getting ready for this fight.
For battle, yeah.
Yeah, for battle.
Michael meets Dominguez.
Mm-hmm. Who is so brave. So strong.
Yeah. Very really calm. Stepping into the role as the new matriarch.
Yes. Welcomes him, gives him food, water. It's like shows him that like this isn't poisonous or anything. And he's like, what happened to, you know, the other two?
Yeah.
And she does this gesture like across mm-hmm. the neck, like, and shrugs like, I tried to help her, but yeah. She didn't make it.
And she puts on that lab coat.
Yeah, with all the blood on it.
To show that she's the doctor. Yeah. Yeah, she did try to help.
She did.
Speaking of bloodstained clothing, we see two other foreigners are passing through, and they see the children's bloodstained clothes on the clothesline, and they're like, oh, these are savages.
Yes.
Like, yeah, the people drying out the clothing are savages, not the people that fucking killed the kid.
Yeah. Exactly.
Okay.
All right. Delusion.
Did Dominguez drug Michael with the food?
Okay, so I think what happened was, I think there is like, it's almost like in World of the Worlds.
I've seen this 3 times and it's still kind of unclear.
It's very unclear.
What happens.
But it's kind of like in War of the Worlds, remember? Mm-hmm. And when the aliens are like attacking and they're dominating, and then they take a sip of water or something like that, yeah. And then they start to die off. Well, I just think like there's stuff all around this place that have
signs?
An effect. I think it's both. I think both of them were like water
all right.
and germs. But there's a point where Michael is about to like get down to set up his snipe,
mm-hmm.
and something pricks him.
Oh.
And he pulls it out. So I just think that it was an effect of a plant or something.
Oh, okay.
Like a different plant. It just like, it just so.
Because something gets
happened
to him.
Yeah.
Right as he's setting up that sniper rifle.
Mm-hmm.
And just has target practice and we get a dog death.
Yeah, he snipes the dog. He starts to act real silly.
The foreigners ask over the radio, did you just kill a dog? And he says, hell no.
Oh, no.
I didn't kill a dog. What?
He starts to get so silly and just starts shooting like rounds.
Everyone's looking through town, but no one's around.
No one's around.
It's a ghost town once again.
Mm-hmm.
Except for these two gentlemen who arrive to deliver more coffins, mysteriously.
Yeah. But the foreigners know about the truck arrival. Mm-hmm. Like, they know it's supposed to happen.
Well, yeah.
So, I guess they're supposed to be safe, but because Michael has been drugged by Baccarat, he shoots them.
Mm-hmm.
Two of the other foreigners, the kid killer and the woman with the Tommy gun.
Yeah.
They just start shooting at the school. And then we finally get like some of our first shots of like the people are still in town just hiding.
Mm-hmm.
And then they open fire back and kill them.
Yep.
Lay them full of bullets.
We see one of the guys step into the museum.
Terry.
And finally checking out the Baccarat History Museum. They really should have done that earlier. They see this history of warfare, of mm-hmm. battles won.
Mm-hmm.
And then he turns this corner and we see a wall that used to just be all the guns, but is now just all the gun holders.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, bang.
Like shot and then chopped.
Mm. And we assumed, or at least I assumed when we saw them digging the night before, that it was for the bodies
mm-hmm.
of the deceased. No, it was to get access to these tunnels that lead them underground.
Yeah. So Michael kills one of his own men.
Yeah, some friendly fire.
Yeah. And the other one, because they're all pretty much like set into pairs,
mm-hmm.
Runs into the museum to look for Terry.
Yeah, and he sees follows the trail of blood.
Mm-hmm. And follows it and gets chopped.
Yeah, it's that thing where people are hiding. He's following the trail on the floor and then people are hiding when he crosses a doorway.
Yep.
And it's Lunga who goes at him with a machete
mm-hmm.
and decapitates him.
Yep. We see heads rolling.
Heads will roll.
Heads will roll. Michael is about to kill himself for why, don't know. But he sees Carmelita.
Mm-hmm.
And this is when we know for sure that something's wrong with him. Like mm-hmm. he's been drugged somehow. I like that Carmelita comes back.
Yeah.
As like this, just like this figure dressed in white, mm-hmm. smiling.
Yeah.
And disarms him. And he's taken hostage.
Yeah, we get like some alien stuff, some spirit stuff, mm-hmm. It's good.
It's good.
Some hallucination stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's a weird Western, everybody.
Mm.
So now they've got the heads off of everyone.
Right.
All the foreigners. And everyone in the village is taking pictures with their cell phones.
Yeah.
We're just panning across this line. Mm-hmm.
They all come out with guns. I love that too. Like mm-hmm. everyone is armed.
After the end of that shot panning everyone with cell phones, it's just one person taking pictures with an iPad. Mm-hmm. I love that. I love that there's still some humor in this after complete bloodbath.
Mm-hmm. I love that there's a question of, did Lunga go too far?
Mm.
And then Teresa answers, no.
He did what he had to do.
And also, it's kind of like their history because we see this picture in the museum of severed heads.
Mm-hmm.
And then that is recreated with the foreigner heads like in front of the museum or whatever that is. All their heads chopped.
There's history and tradition and they respect where they came from and their culture. And the white's culture is going into foreign places and complete destruction.
Yeah.
Whereas Baccarat of respect for their land and their people.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the person in charge of the museum Says clean the floors, but we're gonna keep the walls as is. Yeah. As is currently stained with blood. But like that's their new history.
That's their new history. It's like part of it now. Which is pretty cool.
Yeah. Speaking of history, Tony Jr. shows up. He's about to be history.
He comes in with a freaking like party bus with water on.
They've got like
seat.
A bottled water on each seat. The guy like opens the door and then shuts the door when he's like, "Where is everybody?"
Right.
By everybody, because all the villagers are outside at this point. He means the foreigners.
Mm-hmm.
And then Michael shows up yelling, "Tony, amigo."
And what Tony's happened?
Like, Who's this? I don't know this person.
Yeah. And
I don't know you. Tony.
Yeah. Blowing up his spy.
Tony De Niro. Where's the De Niro?
Mm-hmm. And so Tony is just manhandled a little bit.
Oh, yeah. Well, he tries to reason with Plinio first, but then he says, "We've all taken a psychotropic drug," which is when we get the confirmation that that's what they were all taking.
Mm-hmm.
"We've all taken a psychotropic drug and you will die." And then, is it him? No, the Pacote goes up to
Pacote.
Him. Tuffles his hair, tossles his hair,
squeezes
grabs
his
it,
cheeks.
Just like, yeah.
Yeah. And then he's tied, stripped, put on a donkey backwards and a mask, like this evil spirit mask put on his face.
Yeah.
And he rides off.
They send the donkey out of town. And the MC's eulogizing him, saying, "Tony Jr. is a filthy asshole.
Yeah.
We hope you may never return. May the donkey return unharmed from this important mission."
Yes.
I love that they respect the donkey.
They respect the donkey
so much more than they do that piece of shit, Tony Jr.
Mm-hmm.
So now they're just left with Michael to deal with.
Yeah. And
one of Michael's last lines is, "We've killed more people than you know."
Yeah. But not these people. They walk Michael into a cell underground, like one of the tunnels.
Yeah.
And begin to bury him alive.
While he shouts, "This is only the beginning."
Yeah, whatever that means. And they do it together as a community.
Yeah, that's true.
They do it together as a community.
From the beginning to the end, they stick together.
Mm-hmm. And that's Bacurau.
That is it. There's a note in the end credits I like that is translated in the subtitles that says, "This film generated over 800 jobs. Culture is both identity and industry."
Dope.
Yeah. As I said, I think this is a film. It's always tempting to just call any
foreign
any
feature a
film. Yeah. But this is more, I mean, it's definitely a genre feature, but there's a lot of thought put into it, a lot of specificity. It's so unlike what you would normally see in the storytelling, like how it starts out with Teresa and then she just becomes another part of the community.
Yeah, she just kind of like fades
in. She doesn't even have an arc.
No, she's not.
None of
the hero,
characters do.
She doesn't really get a kill,
yeah.
You know. She just kind of comes back home.
Mm-hmm. It's a really interesting storytelling and really interesting story.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a film. How about you?
You know, I kind
of movie or film?
I think I said movie.
You did at the very beginning.
I think I said movie, and I think I'm gonna stick with movie.
Okay.
Yeah, stick with movie.
Definitely plays as a movie too.
Yeah.
It's one of those cases where it's a wonderful marriage.
Yeah.
Yeah, just entertainment and thought provocation.
And thoughtfulness, yeah.
Do you think Michael saying this is only the beginning suggests like a sequel, and would you want that?
Honestly, I think I would. I think I would. I think I would want more of Bacurau.
I don't know.
I feel like it could go real south though, but it'd be interesting.
What would the sequel be? Just more people come to Bacurau, or like the people back around like go to the big city?
Ooh. Jason goes to Manhattan. No.
Yeah, but it's a whole village of people.
Right. I think that there are two ways I would want to see this. Either more foreigners come to back around
mm-hmm.
or they do another place where people are trying to do the same thing. You know what I mean? And so we get a different history, a different community, a different vibe, you know?
I would be sad if the community doesn't take arms again.
Oh, the community has to win. It has to be one of those franchises where...
Yeah, but then it would be so predictable.
Yeah, but I don't know. It might still be satisfying.
Yeah, I don't know. I see how you would want a sequel with it being a movie in your eyes. But with it being a film in mine, I feel like thematically everything was tied up so well.
Yeah.
What, like, more, he's just talking. What more would they say?
Yeah.
I don't know. Part of the reveals, like, played into the exploration or the discovery of what the film was like really about.
Right.
I don't know. I would watch it.
I'd watch it. I think that's enough.
But we don't got franchise everything.
Yeah. Yeah. This is an original. Let's keep it.
Yeah. All right. You say movie, I say film.
Movie film.
Email us moviefilmpod@gmail.com. We're on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook @moviefilmpod. Tell your kids.
Yeah.
But keep them safe. And, you know, come back next time for another episode of Movie.
Movie.
Film.
Film.